Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, Rich Casanova here, your host for this morning's edition, a special episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. We have a couple gentlemen in, here in the studio. I'll tell you about in just a second. We want to thank our sponsors at Atlanta Business Networking, listing over 100 networking events throughout the city of Atlanta. Crown Office Suites, offering you the best in virtual and physical offices with 4 locations throughout the Buckhead area and beyond. And also, just want to hope you're having a great day. We had a few sporting events to talk about if we have time for that during the show. I think we had a little green room conversation earlier about that. But I have my co-host here this morning, Michael Moore. I call him Mr. Buckhead. I don't know if that's a legal or official title.
Not official, Rich, but thank you. Good to be with you this morning. Yeah.
And how many years, we were talking about this before we went on the air, how many years in Buckhead or Atlanta, first of all?
Yeah. More than one and less than 40.
All right, nice. And we've known each other for quite a number of years, and welcome back to the studio. You've been here a few times as a co-host, and
well, thank you. It's good to be with you this morning. We look forward to finding out what's going on the city streets and how the buildings are looking better, and we're still growing, and the cranes are out there, so Jim's going to share a lot of stuff with us.
I know. It's great. The crane season is back, right?
Correct. I mean,
there's just awesome good stuff here. So for this special episode, we've invited the executive director of the Buckhead Community Improvement District, also known as the Buckhead CID. Jim, you've been director now for the past 5 years with the association, or director as well?
I know I've been the executive director for about 5 years now.
Okay, well, awesome. And so prior to that, you ran the Livable Communities Coalition and the Atlanta District Council of the Urban Land Institute.
That's correct.
Right, yeah. Probably maybe one of the shortest resumes I think we've ever had in the studio. Sometimes people bring in 3 pages. I'm like, and we don't have any time left for the interview. So,
well, that's why it was short.
Nice, nice. Well, that's awesome, background. Now, prior to the Buckhead CID, what's a little bit of your backstory, originally from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, really?
I was, born here 57 years ago and, attended high school here, went off, to college and then graduate schools, became a geologist and then came back to Atlanta. Worked as a professional geologist for about 10 years and then got into nonprofit, smart growth, land use, environment.
Yeah,
that's where I've been since then.
So what part of the country did that take you to?
Well, I went to the University of Georgia and the University of Texas.
Okay.
After going to the University of Virginia.
Wow, yeah. I was grew up in Virginia Beach during my high school years, whatever. Yeah, so always enjoyed that part of the country. But now, what drew you to Atlanta, or I guess back here, or whatever, right?
It was my home, and I had an opportunity to practice what I'd been learning how to do when I was in Athens and in Texas. So, chance to come home and be a geologist.
Right, nice. A rock scientist.
Well,
as opposed to a rocket scientist, whatever.
Well, yeah, that's a popular role, but looking down instead of looking up, I guess, sometimes, Jim.
And we had a little competition, so who's been here longer? I know I have not.
He's clearly been here longer. Even if I've been here my whole life, I would be older, but I'll give him the credit on that. I've been here about 40 years now, but I do say I've lived inside the perimeter all the time, which I'm sure he's pretty well done while he's here. We have the same beliefs in that sustainability, and why on earth would you want to check out somebody's tag and tail lights at close range?
Nice. Well, we'll move beyond geography, but so 57 years. So Grady Hospital, I imagine, or that's the only
Emory.
Emory. That was the only. I thought they were around longer. Okay, so let's jump into the Buckhead CID first of all. For tell us a little bit about the concept that people may not be aware of. Of you know what is a CID? Because there's others outside of the area.
First of all, in the rest of the country, there are entities known as business improvement districts.
Okay.
So you go to most major metropolitan areas, in the downtown areas, there'll be a business improvement district. And in the state of Georgia, we are called community improvement districts.
Right.
We are created subject to a state law, and then a local jurisdiction will approve the formation of a community improvement district. I'll use the Buckhead CID as an example about how they come about. We are allowed to collect commercial property taxes above and beyond the ad valorem taxes that commercial property owners pay to the county, the city, and the school system. But the commercial property owners actually vote and choose to form the community improvement district. So it's a voluntary thing, and you have two hurdles you need to get over. 50% plus one of the commercial property owners need to say, yes, we want to do this.
That was my next question, because if only five people raise their hand,
then everybody, you go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, everybody does not want to be taxed because five people do.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also have to have the commercial property owners that own at least 75% of the value of the real estate within the district.
Okay.
So you've got a supermajority and a majority hurdle that you need to cross.
And when was that established, or that hurt those hurdles, or how long is the Buckhead?
The oldest CID in Georgia is 25, coming up on 26 years old right now. Okay. The Cumberland Community Improvement District.
Okay.
The Buckhead Community Improvement District has been in existence for 15 years now.
Okay. Yeah, because to me, just as a civilian, it seems like somewhat of a recent phenomenon. You know, right? Or
it is a fairly recent phenomenon, and there is now a proliferation of CIDs throughout the metropolitan Atlanta region. There may be 17, I believe.
Wow. Well, yeah.
And it's like cities. It seems like there's a bunch of concerned constituents that get together and form something. In our case, it's property owners that are willing to look at making additional investments to improve their values, as well as improve their product they're offering to the folks. I know, Jim, the Buckhead CID has recently, or not recently, but a few years ago, I guess just before you joined them, grew and actually changed its geographic boundaries. Is that correct?
That's right. We've actually expanded two different times since our initial establishment. First expansion was down to cover what a lot of people know as the Buckhead Village. So the area around Far Road, West Paces Ferry, East Paces Ferry, Roswell Road, and Peachtree. So that was an expansion in 2005. Then a couple of years ago, we expanded by extending up and down Georgia 400 to take in the Georgia Department of Transportation right-of-way.
Right.
And we did that specifically for a particular project that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned values, if you would. Just kind of put it in perspective to the people, because everybody knows that there's some valuable real estate here. And, mm-hmm. and if you would, just take a moment and talk about the value of the real estate in your borders of your full CID, and give us a perspective of what that represents in our economy.
You know, that's a really good question, Michael, and I'm not sure I can give an adequate answer to that right now. However, we are going to be, along with the Midtown Improvement District and the Downtown Improvement District, we are going to be studying the economic impact, which will, of all three CIDs in the city of Atlanta, and I'll be able to share the details there. But I will tell you this. We are 2.5 square miles, and we collect 3 mils of property taxes, so $3 per $1,000 of value.
Right.
We think that in 2014, we're going to collect somewhere between $4 and $4.5 million. So I guess you could do some math there, Michael. Are you scratching it out?
Scratching it out.
He's got his,
You certainly put a value around being nice to Buckhead, and Buckhead will be nice to you, right?
And yeah, that's exactly right. And so what we're going to do, we take those dollars, and our job is to then invest those dollars with the guidance of a board of directors in the public realm, the spaces between buildings.
Okay.
So our job is to knit together as well as we can what the commercial property owners are building as they're going vertical.
Right.
And so streets, sidewalks, bike paths, parks, plazas, all those spaces that knit everything together.
I know you're a big bicycle proponent.
Well, he's a slim bicycle proponent. He's not a big bicycle. He's a slim bicycle.
Yes, I've become quite the advocate and fanatic. Yeah.
But I didn't realize just 2.5 square miles?
Mm-hmm.
So what's those borders look like there?
Buckhead is quite a bit. It's, what, 27 or 36 miles?
We'd have to get another expert, but I believe it's 40 plus.
But you're kind of focusing on
the commercial core.
Commercial core, but also just, you know, segments of that, not its in entirety. Just, like you said, the landscaping and the improvement right near and around the building. That's not that, and a lot of the improvements already taken care of by other entities. So you're just kind of filling
that's
the gap
right
there.
That's right. What we do is we assess, what the needs are out there, what the community wants,
right,
And then our job is to design, to study the feasibility of it, to understand the cost of it, to leverage other dollars that we can pull into the region. So we're not just spending our, you know, 100% our funds. And, but to answer the question about the geography, to give people a sense of the boundaries, just think of Peachtree.
Right.
From, going toward Midtown, you start at the Peach Shopping Center.
Right.
Okay. Come north up Peachtree, all the way past Lenox Square, Phipps Plaza, and up to Peachtree, Dunwoody Road, Roxborough Road.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the northernmost along Peachtree where we have our boundary.
Right.
So you got south to north along Peachtree. We go up Piedmont. From approximately Far Road all the way up to Habersham and almost Roswell Road.
Okay.
And then sort of all of the areas in between. And if you go to our website, you can actually see a map.
Yeah.
And that's buckheadscid.com.
Okay. Yeah. We'll post that on the site as well. And then, what about Lenox? I heard there's some development. You folks are involved in it, but I heard there's some major, improvement projects on the drawing boards for right here near the studio on Lenox and Peachtree.
Yes, Lenox Road is within the CID.
Okay.
And there are some private developers who are going to be doing development on some of the property along East Paces Ferry
right.
toward Roxborough and on Lenox Road. And so our job is going to be to determine with them what sort of public improvements
right.
Can go along with that development, but they are going to be required to make improvements themselves because right. the zoning ordinance for this area, which is called SPI 12, requires them to do certain things in terms of the streetscape and how they relate to the
right.
street.
Yeah, as always, the larger projects pretty well take care of themselves. You're basically there to make sure that as things are developing or changing or properties are lying maybe dormant or parcels are lying dormant during the development process, they stay serviceable, they stay friendly to the neighborhood, and as well as they continue to add value.
And clean.
And clean, of course. Mm-hmm.
Well, the aesthetic appeal or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a win-win for everybody,
sure.
right?
Well,
that's right.
And the transportation, y'all get involved in that transportation process of making sure that, as you said, clean and serviceable, but you do some stuff with sidewalks as well, you do stuff with benches, all the things that, as you said, would go between the buildings. Well, to make life better.
And when we were formed in 1999, there was one particular project that everybody had in mind,
yeah.
which was addressing Peachtree. Because back then, Peachtree was what I call a traffic sewer. You know, it was not a place where you wanted to walk.
Right.
It was just what you drove through.
Yeah, yeah. And, if you're lucky, you could.
And it was getting very congested. And so the question was, is there something that we can do to analyze the situation and come up with a better design for how Peachtree can accommodate traffic better, but also be a pleasant place
aesthetics.
To walk?
Aesthetics,
and be the sort of place where we, you know, we'd love it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you want to be there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You want to, as a destination or just enjoy your time and your experience there. I know it seems like the longest time there was cones, you know, like there was just permanent cone fixtures on Peachtree.
Cones and steel plates.
I didn't think they were going to go away at any point. Yeah. So, Michael's talking about transportation. We'll talk on, about MARTA in a minute, but, kind of go back to some big picture stuff about Buckhead, the CID, its mission.
Sure.
You know, what do you have a mission statement or what's your end game here, I guess, or,
I should have brought that mission statement with me so I could actually repeat it.
I'm sure it's on the website.
It's on the website, yeah. But how do you see it? I mean, what's your as an executive director, what do you hope to accomplish?
Sure. The idea is we make investments so that Buckhead can be walkable, accessible, a mixed-use place where people want to work, live, play.
Yep.
It is becoming a walkable urban environment. When Buckhead came of age, it was a drivable suburban environment. And all across the country, in fact, there's a report coming out today out of Smart Growth America about the 30 largest metropolitan areas in the country and how they are urbanizing and becoming more walkable. Atlanta is, I think, the eighth most walkable metropolitan area in the country right
really?
Now, but I think we might be fourth or fifth in terms of the trajectory that we're going.
Oh, the progress, yeah.
The progress.
Wow.
Congratulations.
60% of the development in this current development cycle is happening in walkable urban places in this region. So it's a real turnaround
yeah,
from
yeah.
what everybody across the country knows Atlanta for.
Wonder how much of that is happening right in our backyard here.
I think a lot of it. You know, we're seeing fresh concrete. I was watching people clean their sidewalks just yesterday as I was going up and down. And, of course, down to Buckhead Triangle there, you always wonder what's going to happen next. It looks like we're going to have a beautiful park there, which I'm sure y'all are involved with. And but park space is always important. I know you work with the different park pride and so forth to help, as you said, keep it clean, keep mm-hmm. it neat, mm-hmm. and keep it usable. You know, it's no fun to put a park in the wrong place, just like there's no fun to put a path or a bicycle or lane in the wrong place.
Right.
It takes effort, and it either embarrasses or makes some people very happy. So how do y'all work with your priorities? That's one of the greatest questions, I guess, we as walk along the street, civilians wonder how do they keep their priorities straight there?
Well, it's a lot of conversations with our 9-member board and the staff, and then we also try to do a lot of outreach to other partners, such as the Path Foundation, an organization called Livable Buckhead. We share office space with them at Tower Place, and then also surveys. Questioning the people who are making investments in the CID, what's right. important to you, and so we take all of that, look at our projections for the tax dollars that we bring in, what we've currently got in the bank, what we've already obligated to other things, and then figure out how we're going to spend that money down over time.
I like an earlier point you touched on, where you also bring in other funds, resources that a lot of times sit idle or not really delegated, you know. And so if you have an entity that's seeking those funds instead of just spending all the money that you have. But also, a point you touched on, Mike, is this idea of people sweeping their sidewalks, you know, and just taking pride in the neighborhood, right? And that doesn't happen by accident. Sometimes you have to create that organic sense of pride. But, you know, it almost kind of like snowballs, right? Because as you make improvements, people – they kind of step up, the regular, like you said, the civilians and the folks here.
Yeah,
right?
The walkers. You mentioned the $4 to $4.5 million, and Rich also topped on it there, multiplying those monies from other sources, whether they be private, public, or government.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about that and what's going on in our marketplace here in Buckhead, things we'll look forward to.
Well, let me look in the rearview mirror right now and tell you what we have done in the 15 years.
Yeah.
We have spent or obligated to be spent approximately $60 million
wow.
of CID funds. Over this period of time, we've been able to leverage another $101 million from other sources. And those sources are federal transportation dollars, state transportation dollars, city funds, state road and tollway authority funds, PATH Foundation funds for this particular project that I hope we'll talk about in a little bit, the PATH 400 multi-use trail, which is sure. under construction right now. MARTA funds, the Federal Transit Administration funds, and that's specifically for the pedestrian bridge project that we'll talk about, which will be opening June 24th at noon.
Yeah, I've seen some photos of that. It's pretty futuristic.
Radio X going to do a live broadcast?
Yeah, we'll do, yeah. You guys do the ribbon cutting. We'll talk about it, yeah.
And the great, you said it looks really futuristic.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of that because MARTA designed that in-house, and they did a fabulous job with that.
It's really cool. I mean, it looks, you know, like a spaceship kind of stuff, but it's so sleek. I mean, it kind of fits it sets the stage for the future for other people to follow, right?
It's Buckhead.
Yeah.
It's Buckhead.
It's still going to be, it's one of our gateways.
Yeah.
Coming down 400. You see it, you can't miss it. And mm-hmm. it does take care of that river issue that we have in the middle of our city.
So if you had to pick a specific mm-hmm. project in the past, we want to talk about what's working on currently.
Mm-hmm.
But over those years, even in your 5 years of the 15, what do you feel collectively are a couple of pet projects that the CID is most excited to talk about?
As I mentioned, the big project is the transformation of Peachtree.
Right.
And we've been turning it into what is known in this country as a complete street. So if you can picture Peachtree from roughly Piedmont Road north past Phipps Plaza,
right,
that is a completed project. The first two phases of the original project to transform Peachtree. And that was what you were referring to when you said cones were out there,
yeah.
barrels were out there, all that. And because we built that in two different stages.
Okay.
That is the granddaddy. That is the one where we leveraged an awful lot of funding from the federal government. The ARRA funds or stimulus funds went to construct that project.
Right.
We paid for doing an analysis of the situation and coming up with a recommended design, which then Georgia DOT, because that's a state route,
right,
had to approve and say, yes, this is the best thing for us to do there. And when you go out there now, what you will see is turn lanes, landscape medians separating and controlling traffic, bike lanes, wide sidewalks that are attractive, shade trees, street furniture. All the utilities are buried, so you don't have wires overhead. It is a beautiful boulevard.
Much better for taking pictures.
Absolutely.
It flows so much smoother. It's even in traffic, it seems like a lot of traffic, it just seems to flow. I mean, the curve and everything else. So
it is reliable.
It's definitely, as you said, you've taken the Peachtree Sewer and cleaned it up just a smidgen into a point where it's just very, very enjoyable and likable. You can't walk up through the central section of Buckhead now and not realize that a lot of things have changed, and there's a lot of efforting there, and a lot of cone work.
Yeah. Well, I was, with the old Saturday Night Live Coneheads, it was like, it felt like a Conehead instead of Buckhead. But before we move on, you mentioned about burying wires and everything. So out our window, we have this amazing view of the Lenox Square and out our studio, but we do have these wires in the way. So after the broadcast, can you bury those for us before you leave?
No problem, Rich.
Yeah, you got that covered, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, what else?
Well, going back to, I know he's got a pet project he wants to talk about, but let's hold just a moment there as we talk about the impact of things you're doing down around the streets of, not the streets of Buckhead, it's called Atlanta.
It's
Buckhead
called
now.
Buckhead Atlanta.
Now. I was going back to
Buckhead Atlanta.
So talk about some of the things that we can see going on back down in that section, back in the old village, things that you're doing, because I know that, I've been hearing a lot about the Historical Society, a lot working on our cemeteries. How do you interface with other groups in the city? And sure. I know that's a full-time job for a lot of staff members, just to keep things moving with all these interested volunteers.
Absolutely. Before I describe that, you asked me about previous projects that we're proud of. Two things that we did that sort of set the stage for the growth in this part of Buckhead right now.
Right.
We were part of a group that worked with the city to rezone our entire CID.
Wow.
So this place where your office is located next to Lenox Square, that is a specific zoning district called SPI 12. Down around the village, Michael, where you're talking about, that's called SPI 9. And so we worked with the city to rezone these two areas, and not to dictate exactly what would be built, but to describe how the development that would come here in the future would relate to the streets.
So it's cohesive, right?
It's cohesive. Yeah. It addresses the streets and people. And it's the sort of thing that you want to have in place as you are urbanizing and more people are going to be out on their feet. Outside. So that zoning was an important thing that we did because it really does set the stage for what the private sector is going to be doing over time in the area. Now, getting down to the Buckhead Village area, you can see two of our projects underway down there right now. Number one, you mentioned the Triangle Park, Charlie Loudermilk Park.
Yep.
That park really wasn't utilized all that much. And we asked the question, why? And it just wasn't designed to be inviting and to pull people into it. It was just something you'd look at as you drove by.
Right. Yeah.
It was an island in the middle of
It was an island Peachtree. That separated Roswell Road and Peachtree Road right, and Sardis. And so we said, well, what ought it be? And so we did an examination, and we learned what it is that attracts people to parks. And we said, well, can we incorporate those things in that? And so we ended up redesigning Charlie Loudermilk Park. And what you see down there right now is just it's scraped. We were able to decommission it and take it down to where it needed to be before we come out of the ground. Now we're going to be putting a new park in place. And it is going to be a gathering place where I believe people are going to want to cross over Roswell Road, cross over Peachtree Road safely in new crosswalks and be able to spend time there. And there'll be hardscape, there'll be landscape, there'll be a fountain, there'll be public art, and a great big green grass area where people can go to enjoy themselves.
That's a pretty small park. Are you going to double-deck it?
It's actually larger than you would think.
Once you stop on the island, we had the folks in from the Southeastern Horticulture Society in the studio, and it's pretty exciting what's going on right there. And it kind of, identifies that area, and then it draws more folks in there. Retail and the Buckhead Theater's right there,
And with Oliver McMillan's Buckhead Atlanta happening there, theater there, it's the sort of thing that's needed to sort of knit everything together. So we're pleased with that. We're also, Michael, we are redoing the streetscapes down there right now. We're doing it in partnership with Oliver McMillan for their Buckhead Atlanta project, but we're also going adjacent to their property to try to knit something together appropriately, absent new redevelopment, so that everything flows and you can walk from one place to another and be able to park your car once, get out, take care of your needs, and then leave in your car or walk or bike or take transit.
Now, I like that, where you can just park and it's pedestrian friendly or entertainment friendly. So you can take on, you can take in, more than just a destination to the Cheesecake Factory or just, and then leave, whatever, right? So,
but the Cheesecake Factory moved.
I know exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But there's something, there was rumors of what's coming in there. I mean, we had some folks in here talking about that. They weren't able to divulge, but, do you have any insider tip on what's going?
I will not divulge.
I've heard rumors, but yeah. So.
We're glad to see the continued redevelopment of that area, which has been very much on everybody's mind for what, the last 6 years or so.
Well, it's been on hold with the economy, right?
And to see the when all the hoopla about the ESPN zone closing and, of course, even the Cheesecake Factory moving, a lot of people are going to have to reprogram their cars not to turn in there on Sunday afternoon to go to dinner. But as Oliver McMillan pulls his process together and starts to open that, it's going to really give a great opportunity for, as you said, park once, shop many, I think is the term we might want to use here in the city, and enjoy, visit the park, and stop by and see all the old as well as new merchants, because we're going to get a whole new look of labels, logos, and opportunities in that area.
Yeah, I think we're very, very fortunate to have this kind of development interest. Another thing that's happening that people are, number one, excited about, but some are concerned about, is the proliferation of high-rise rental housing.
Right.
And so people say, how can we accommodate all this new growth and development when it's already congested? What is happening is we're getting the mix right with housing and jobs. And if we can continue to work to get that balance, then people are going to be able to live close to where they work, work close to where they live. And if we can make it walkable and bikeable, then it's going to not be the kind of development that will be all automobile dependent. And we'll be on our way to becoming a more walkable urban place, which is what we need to be.
Well, for a small personal sample, last week I was at an event here in the city hosted by one of our great companies here. I won't use the name publicly yet, but later. And they have 400 people in Buckhead right now, and they're adding another 200 to 400 of them. And I probably spoke personally to 15 or 20 of them over the course of the day, and at least 40 to 45% of them live within 1 mile of their office. So to Jim's point, they can walk, they can bike. They could MARTA if they were too far away up the road, but one of the guys actually said, well, I bought a home in Alpharetta, but I ride the train in every day. I enjoy my personal time reading and seeing and doing, and other than sitting and watching, as you said, watching taillights, which it's a blessing to have that opportunity. And with MARTA here, which we'll talk about later, as well as some of the other projects, it's going to be more exciting for that group that lives in the larger, better spaces for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk about maybe, Mike, I don't know if you want to jump in on the bigger picture of Buckhead in terms of the Buckhead Business Association. I know you're involved with them or the Ritz Group or any other entities that you feel.
Sure.
Well, before we do that, I'll just give you a thought to kind of so, Jim, you mentioned some groups that you collaborate with. Mm-hmm. Before we move on, is there any others that come to mind that you didn't already mentioned before we talk about the trends?
We work in partnership with MARTA, the City of Atlanta, and Georgia DOT.
Okay.
So
they're
very good working partners where we've developed a trusting relationship, and we can sit down and we have a track record of performance.
Yeah.
And so they like working with us because we can get things done, and we take their dollars and stretch them.
Right. Nice. Yeah.
So it's real good value. So those are the main partners. And for this particular project that I hinted at a while ago, Path 400,
yeah,
that's going to be a 5-mile multi-use trail. predominantly in the Georgia 400 corridor, which will connect all these communities and this commercial core of Buckhead to the Atlanta Beltline.
Wow.
And the secret about all of this infrastructure development is how many connections you can make.
Right.
The more connected it is, the more valuable it becomes. And so the fact that we're going to be able to connect down there, Sydney Marcus and Marosco and Piedmont Road to the Beltline. And you've also got the South Fork and the North Fork of Peachtree Creek. They're working on trails that are riparian trails next to that creek. They will connect there as well. So as we increase this connectivity of biking and walking trails, it's just going to make Buckhead that much more of a desirable place to be.
Make it very livable. Make it very livable.
Yeah. So what's your involvement for the CID? I mean, how actively do you get involved? Do you just kind of oversee some of that, or are you using some of your funds for the actual trails? And are these are bike trails and walking trails or paths?
For this particular project, we put a good bit of money into it. We funded the feasibility study to determine if it could be done. It was an idea that came out of a big green space master planning assessment of Buckhead. And so once we determined that it was feasible, once we determined what it would likely cost to build it, then we put additional money in to help fund it. The Path Foundation is putting money in to fund it.
Right.
Livable Buckhead is sort of project managing the, or has been project managing, getting it underway. Now the Path Foundation has taken it on in terms of construction. So everybody knows what their role is, and that's a three-party agreement, and that's what we've done.
What's the length or mileage, or what's the distance that you're covering?
It's approximately 5 miles.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
5 miles.
So it goes from up by Northside Hospital down through Buckhead.
Well, not all the way up to Northside Hospital. It's in the city of Atlanta.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember,
somewhere
is it Mountain Way?
Sort of.
Mountain Way. And Georgia 400 coming south, and it will end up down at basically Marosco and Piedmont.
That feeds into
the Atlanta Beltline and the other river trail, creek trails.
Well, I'm sure he's got a collaboration with Sandy Springs to get him to bring something to meet the north end.
Oh, we have we've worked with the State Road and Tollway Authority and Georgia DOT to preserve the opportunity to extend the trail north. Away from the CID, and Sandy Springs is interested in it. The Perimeter Community Improvement District districts are interested in it. So
Jim, you could go to business meetings in Perimeter on your bike. Is that what you're telling us?
That's the idea, Mike.
Then they can continue the path up to Virginia Beach, where I went to high school. Yeah.
You know, if we preserve that path, we'll get you there, Rich. We'll get you there.
That almost motivates me. If I can work, I live in Sandy Springs, work here at the studio in Buckhead. But if I could hop on my bike and go down to the Beltline, I mean, that would be
powerful.
Yeah, it almost motivates me to put some more air in my tires if it's sitting there for a while.
And then the Beltline will eventually connect with the Silver Comet Trail, which goes all the way to Alabama and into Alabama.
Man, I may never make it.
You
back
may never
here.
Get back in your car.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, we would all be better served to trade in our cars in a heartbeat if we could figure out a way to do it and still enjoy our lifestyle as we wish it to be.
Mm-hmm. So, before we talk about some trends shaping Buckhead's growth, is there any thoughts on other entities that you're affiliated with?
One of the processes I think that's important, and Jim knows, the Buckhead Business Association has always been a powerful partner, and people have come from the resources in different places, as well as the different organizations that we spend our time and effort in with all our members and people who come to Buckhead. They reach out and grab information. So Jim's been very gracious over the years to present there and keep our group informed, as well as his predecessor, when we're trying to understand what we need to do. And it's all talking points, because I'll put in the plug for the BBA, but because you've got to eat breakfast somewhere, or at least you should. And so once a week, if you journey down there and have a breakfast at the City Club of Buckhead and hear an interesting speaker, even if you're just a salesperson or just a business owner or just even a pastor at a church, you're going to learn things that you're not going to find out listening to people complain about the city, but you're going to listen and learn things about improvements in the city, which is really what improves the development, what improves the livability, what improves the walking, what it makes it just a better place to live. So as we'd like to say, buy a little Buckhead and keep it, protect it. It'll grow up and do better. And certainly over the last, my 40 years, Jim's 57 years here, we've seen a whole lot of improvement and a lot of opportunity. You mentioned the Ritz Group. You said I serve as an ambassador there. And it all goes back to, where does the money come from? you know, we've got to build more businesses, more profitable businesses that allow the employee base to grow and to allow the compensation base to grow in our marketplace so that we can afford to, whatever that is, whether it's buy a new bicycle, put air in your tires, get new office space. We're very blessed to have people like the ATV here to Atlanta Technology Village here to be part of the community and serve the growing business side, which is not into the, as Jim said, the top 75% of the value of the buildings, but they're actually occupying the buildings, which allow the owners to understand the marketplace has changed, because the 24-year-old that doesn't own a car, doesn't want a car, has much different needs than the soccer mom with a minivan and three kids, because we got to have the parks, we got to have the bike paths, we got to have all the things that make that work. And CID is doing a fabulous job. And as Jim said, we've been a leader, not only in Atlanta, but in the Southeast in terms of how we manage our growth, how we manage our needs, and how we make dollars stretch, which, you know, I can't think of a prouder day back when we opened the first section of the Peachtree change. Because when you stand there in front of the Intercontinental Hotel and enjoy that wide sidewalk, and even when you look next door, when I watched the Atlanta Financial Center originally being built, big change when you think we've literally turned that building around in the last 20 years. It used to face its parking deck, and now we've again opened and embraced the sidewalk at Peachtree, because you kind of snuck back behind the building and you stayed there until you tried to escape every day. Now you're able to walk in from the street or even walk from across the street and have a meeting there with two business clubs right across the street from each other. You can walk downstairs, go out, go across the street. Or I'm a big MARTA rider, and it's so fabulous to be able to get off right in the middle of Peachtree and choose which way you want to go,
right,
as opposed to have to walk three blocks to get across the street, to jump onto an island to be protected from the policeman who's blowing his whistle and telling you not to walk yet. So, Jim, I sincerely appreciate the transportation issues. One thing we didn't speak about was public transportation other than MARTA, and before we take a break and or go to MARTA, maybe you could talk a little bit about the buck, because I know you have some impact there, and that's something most people don't understand here in Buckhead, how that vehicle and process exhibits and how it works.
Yes. Working with the Buckhead Area Transportation Management Association, or BATMA, which is now morphing into Livable Buckhead, we have been operating this shuttle called the Buck. The Buckhead Uptown Connection, I think, is what that acronym
originally
stands for.
Originally,
Buck. And that is a free last-mile connectivity shuttle service that we operate in the two commute times, morning and then afternoon. And the idea there is, what can we do to get folks who choose to use the MARTA rail to get to Buckhead to work? What can we do to take them from the Lenox station and the Buckhead station to the most places of employment in a cost-effective way? And that's a free ride. The CID pays almost all of the funding for that.
Okay.
We've gotten a little bit of federal funding to help support that through a federal program. Federal dollars have been diminishing over time, and so we've been carrying the lion's share of that for quite a while now. And so that's what the Buck Shuttle is all about. And one of the things that's really neat about that, that pedestrian bridge that MARTA is going to be opening, which is between Peachtree and Lenox Road, crossing over Georgia 400, that actually creates a brand new entrance into the Buckhead station, going down to the north end of the Buckhead train platform.
Okay.
So that Buck shuttle that serves the Piedmont corridor can now drop people off and pick people up directly from that pedestrian bridge as people are getting off or getting on the MARTA train there. That is a big connection that's been missing for quite a while. In addition, that bridge is a pedestrian connection from one side of 400 to the other. You don't have to pay a MARTA fare to cross the bridge. So we're connecting, again, places that have been divided by other infrastructure decisions we've made in the past. It's a big deal.
I'm glad, Mike, you brought up the Buck, because I hadn't thought about that. We were talking, you know, on our notes, we're talking about Buckhead or MARTA coming up in its future.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in Sandy Springs, but the studio here in Buckhead, and I've been in and out of Buckhead over the years, never lived here or have y'all's history here. But so I've just felt like on the outskirts and attended a few events here and there, but didn't really have a sense or lay of the land of the local establishments or the entities here. So I actually went out of my way and I made a purposeful effort. I jumped on the Buck from right here at the Marriott Conference Center and rode the entire route. From, you know, and, cause I just wanted to get a sense of if I needed to, instead of jumping my car from the studio and go run an errand or go somewhere, I could just jump on the buck or whatever. And I've seen it and I've heard about it. I was on Twitter and I was on, find out about it, but just jumped on it. It was interesting is, all the places to go to and completely free. You think it's a, it's a shuttle service to pay a fare. But I was asking the driver, we had an interesting conversation cause he's like, you're the only guy that's ran the entire route. And I wanted to run it a second time, but I'm like, oh, I'm done. And, but
he
how was
he was going to charge you twice to do it the second time.
Yeah. But I was asking how it was paid for and they weren't aware. And, so I didn't realize you guys were behind that. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm surprised. But how, you know, the challenge is to get the word out about that, right?
Right. Well, we do a pretty good job of getting the word out about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The challenge is growing the ridership.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because I'm amazed people have been here for years, didn't even know it existed or take advantage
of it. People are stuck in their process. Yeah, Jim said the outreach is the hard part or the easy part or the fun part because it's a great opportunity to make community in the buildings. I know 10 years ago whenever it was started, we spent time, people from the BBA and other groups in the city would go out and really we would have parties in the lobbies of these places and stand in the parking lots and pass out brochures that, you know, at lunchtime, back in the old day, you know, get on the buck and go to Lennox, you know, you know, but just use it to come to work and not use your car during the day when you need to. And it made a tremendous difference.
And back then that shuttle service was running all day long. And I think one or two days on the weekend as well. And that was in the days of significant federal funding to go support it. When that funding diminished, we had to rethink how to do it because we can't be spending, you know, 50% of our CID funds doing something that intensive. And so we've scaled it back to become a commute service, commute oriented service. And it is, it's a really good service. It provides that last mile connectivity, which is so important.
It does exactly what the building owners need. It allows them to attract the right type of tenants who can attract employees who have to live somewhere other than in our community and have to drive their vehicle or have to ride MARTA into the city. And it also reduces the vehicle counts on the roads at what we all would feel the most critical time. You know, no one wants traffic in front of their building.
Right. Right. So what are some of the trends shaping Buckhead's growth or whatever? What do you see 5, 10, 15 years out?
We're going to have more vertical development. We're going to have a lot more residential development. Just behind your building here, there are going to be a good number of apartments that are going to be built around a really nice multi-acre park.
Oh, wow.
Which will be, I think they're going to call it Marie Sims Park. Marie was a tremendous citizen leader in Buckhead, active with the NPU, working with the city government to, you know, protect the people who live up here.
For the future generations.
For future generations. And I was just with her son, Kevin, at our college reunion this past weekend. In any case, a lot more development will be happening here of the kind that we need to have because we need to get a critical mass of residences, retail, office buildings, and then the CID and the city need to invest in this infrastructure that connects so that people will not need to get in their car to get around.
Correct. That'll be exciting. So, what about bikeability in Buckhead? You know, I know that's one of your hot buttons, and we've talked a little bit about pedestrians. We've gotten that to be a lot safer. These dedicated new walkways and better walkways, and of course, just simply enforcing the crosswalk laws are beneficial.
Cycling is growing considerably across the country, across the world, really. It is one of the most efficient. It is the most efficient means of transportation that there is, even more so than walking, and it's environmentally sensitive, and more people who are entering the workforce are wanting to be able to get around on foot and on two wheels. So, what can we do to accommodate them? There are two things. Number one, we should be working as we all are in this region to build bicycle paths, the multi-use trails that separates pedestrians and bicyclists from the automobile traffic, such as the Silver Comet Trail, such as the Atlanta Beltline. But we also need to accommodate people who are commuting by bicycle And it's not always convenient to right. use a multi-use path to get where you need to go.
Right.
So what can we do on and adjacent to streets to accommodate bicycles? The completed part of Peachtree mm-hmm. that we've already constructed, that has bike lanes on both sides. And people are cycling on yeah. Peachtree.
Wow.
And some Jimmy John's people are cycling on the sidewalks, going the wrong direction, that sort of thing. But we're going to learn to get along.
Yeah.
Michael, we're trying to figure out what to do with Peachtree going toward Midtown. Georgia DOT wants to redo Peachtree from Midtown all the way up to meet our project here in Buckhead. And they need to figure out how they can accommodate turning traffic and getting cars that want to turn left on Peachtree out of the travel lanes. So you're not blocking a travel lane on
right.
the inside lane. You're coming up Peachtree and you're in the left lane and suddenly, oh my gosh, someone's trying to turn left up there and they don't have a turn lane. They don't have an arrow at the
Scooby-Doo moment, rut row.
Yes, rut row. And yeah. then you get the bumper cars and yeah. the weaving and all that. And so it's a dangerous, unreliable trip right now yeah. where you're not fully utilizing all the lanes. So Georgia DOT is trying to figure out how we can optimize the use of the lanes that we have there. And one thing they're looking at is in putting that turn lane in there, actually creating a road where you've got the center turn lane and two travel lanes on either side going in each direction, as opposed to three lanes going in each direction right now with
right.
no turn lanes. And if you do that, you can put bike lanes in.
Huh.
And do it in a safe way. So that is being studied right now. And if we're able to do that, then people are going to be able to bike on Peachtree, which is a nice ridge, not a lot of up and down.
That's right.
From midtown, Buckhead.
That's crazy.
And
points beyond, Rich.
Right,
points
yeah.
And you mentioned one other thing about earlier, going up and down. The one other project that I think popped up around in some people's mind is the activities coming and going up and down Piedmont from Peachtree down to the new end of the trail. So talk a little bit about that. I think there's some projects in mind there.
Well, we did a study quite a while ago about what could be done to improve the Piedmont corridor. And this gets away from the multi-use path that's going to be going, but it's not going to be on Piedmont until you get down to Lindbergh.
Okay.
At that point, it'll be on Piedmont and go down in front of the Pep Boys, I think, is what they're looking at right now, to go down to the bottom of the hill. And so that corridor study identified improvements that can be made not only on Piedmont, but in the corridor. It actually identified the ramps that have just recently been opened from 400 South to 85 North and 85 South to 400 North as something that ought to be pursued. And voila, Georgia DOT and the State Road and Tollway Authority took that on, and now they're open. And I wish people would use them more.
I was going to say those may be the most underutilized exit and entry ramps that I've ever seen. I watched a lady actually slam on brakes because she started up it because she felt like she was doing something wrong.
Right, right. And I think I've got a blog that was going live today saying, "Hello, Atlanta. This exists. You can use it, and
right.
you don't need to get on Sydney Marcus and Lenox now and do that dance on surface streets to make that connection anymore. So give it a shot.
The flyover fly.
Yep, that's right.
They should take a picture of that and for other people around the country. See, Atlanta traffic's not that bad.
Whatever. Right. Here's a near yeah. empty exit ramp.
Yeah.
at 5 o'clock.
It's like this everywhere. Whatever. Come on, you know, move to Atlanta. Yeah.
Well, there's been so much traffic studies, and lo and behold, as we begin to reposition things, it makes a difference. People don't understand why traffic's in front of them, but it's caused by something that may have been 1 or 2 miles away from them when it started.
Oh, that's right. The ripple effect is enormous.
And it's not just, it doesn't have to be a traffic accident to cause those things to occur. It can just be someone stopping to accommodate someone, and it begins to snowball very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if this is a fair question or whatever, or obvious, but or dumb. But the CID, primarily all the taxes are generated then from business entities or interests, whatever. Right?
Well, not the business entities, but the commercial property owners.
Yeah, commercial property owners. Okay, yeah.
Right.
So commercial. But now, what about? Because we had John Schaffner in here for the Buckhead View a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about the Buckhead condos creating mm-hmm. a community association for some representation or whatever, right, of what's going on in the area. Because a lot of votes are activity or representation is from the owners.
Right.
But would those be considered developers? Are they involved in some of these?
Residential development is prohibited by law from being taxed.
Okay.
For a CID purpose.
Okay.
I'm guessing that what John was getting at is that the folks who are living here now,
yeah, living in the
are trying to organize so that they can have some collective
vote or
a place at the table, sort of thing. And we absolutely welcome that. We try to do outreach. We don't try. We do a lot of outreach and engage the neighborhood planning units, homeowners associations, neighborhoods. And what they're talking about is we are a neighborhood. We're a vertical
neighborhood.
Yeah,
with the high rises. Yeah, a lot of people are downsizing. And like you said, all of these cranes are going up. That's not just all commercial buildings and commercial entities. I mean, they are private condo owners, but they don't typically have a say, you know, because they're not an association like a community association.
Well, they don't have a real voice because they're just a very small voice, and they're busy doing the other things that a homeowner does, which is take care of their lives.
Yeah.
But
where do you guys fit in that? Because you're not really...
Well, if we have a particular project that we're working on, we do outreach and say, here's what we're working on.
Right.
Let us come and explain it to you. Yeah. So you can ask questions about it. We can get your input. For instance, this Peachtree project. What's going to happen on Peachtree going south from Piedmont Road all the way down to Midtown. We are doing design work on that for Georgia DOT. So we've offloaded that responsibility from them. It's going to be their project. And we're in the middle of doing public outreach. So we are getting the word out and saying we're going to have a public open house to explain where we are. It's going to be in this month. It's going to be at this church. And so we use our network to get the word out to the condominiums, to the neighborhood association, so that they can come and understand and then provide their input. And then we've got an opportunity for people to comment.
Right.
You know, go learn on our website about the project. Then they can click on a link, which then gives them the opportunity to provide their feedback. We then provide that to the consultants that are working for us. So we try to do everything we can to touch as many people as possible and get their input and their concerns.
Well, Rich, we've pretty well tied his hands for a lot of time now. I know he's got one or two more things he's going to secret with as a zinger. He's got his MARTA in. He's got the PATH in. What have we forgotten to talk about today that's important to the CID?
You know, let me get back to MARTA. Because just south of this CID is the Lindbergh MARTA station.
Right.
That Lindbergh station was MARTA's first attempt at working with the private sector to jointly do what's called a transit-oriented development. Okay, Bell South back in the day said we're going to consolidate all of our many, many, many operations in the region and put them in about five or six central locations focused on MARTA. And so they became a partner in that. And what ended up happening is we ended up getting kind of a suburban-style development on top of that MARTA station. And we really didn't take full advantage of the opportunity to create a high-density urban place with all of the energy and the population that you need to make the retail tenants really viable.
Right.
And so there are a group of people right now working with MARTA from the Urban Land Institute to figure out what we can do to turn that Lindbergh development into what it ought to be, which is urban, higher density, and actually takes more advantage of the transit investment there. That's the sort of approach that MARTA is now taking throughout the system with Keith Parker coming in here to be the general manager and CEO, and I should say I'm on the board of MARTA.
Okay.
So I know something about this. He is really trying to take MARTA, not trying, he is taking MARTA where it needs to go in terms of financial stability, earning people's trust so that we can put more money into it and know that it will be they'll be good stewards and build the system out. It's a much better system now than it was even a year and a half ago.
Sure thing.
I'm a big fan of MARTA, and I live in Sandy Springs. Just jump on here, and I'm literally out the window. It's not even a block. I mean, I can see it out the window.
Yes. Right?
So it's pretty awesome. So I guess the big news is in T-minus 7 days and 1 hour is the opening ceremony, right?
That's right.
For the pedestrian bridge.
Yep.
That's pretty exciting. So are you having an appointment that day? Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there.
First man across the bridge or whatever. Yeah. So
he'll be on that first MARTA bus with his bike on the front, going to his office,
yeah.
et cetera.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And in fact, what we're doing right now, the Livable Buckhead, is going and doing outreach to all of those high-rises on both sides of Georgia 400 who are going to have the greatest benefit from that investment. They will immediately become transit oriented.
Right, yeah.
And so we're making sure people understand what this is going to mean for their residents in the case of high-rise apartments and condos.
Right, the retail.
The offices that are around there.
The lunch traffic.
I mean, it really makes it work, live, and play, right? Yeah. In the true, because a lot of times you can arrive to a destination, get your work done, but then, you know, you're out of there.
Well,
I'm looking at pictures of it on the website right now, and it's
right. Yeah, one of the mottos in the Buckhead Business Association we used to use to help promote and process and outreach was, if you live here, if you work here, if you play here, or if you happen to love it here, you're in the right place. And I think we've certainly, with the Buckhead CID and their effort, you've made that more of a true statement today, and thank you for the continued hard work and specialized effort, because it is a specialized vocation. Who would have ever thought a rock hound could do the things he's been able to accomplish in the last 5 years here? Thank you, Jim.
Well, I tell people that one thing a geologist can do is he can see things that others can't see. I can visualize stuff below the ground, and I try to do the same thing with what the future ought to be.
Yeah, well, Michael, well said there. So, Jim, any closing thoughts as we wrap up the segment here?
I'm just tickled. I've got the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
Turning Buckhead into what it's going to be in its next iteration, working with others to do it, is just a great, great privilege, and it's really important. Putting smart growth on the ground so people can get it and then emulate it elsewhere, and then being able to work with MARTA, in the way that I do. It's just, Buckhead's in a great position. I'm very bullish.
We'll finish with a two-part question. One, I'm going to ask you to let our listeners know the best way to reach out and get in touch to find out more about the Buckhead CID. But before that, how would someone, who are you looking for in terms of volunteers, or how can people living in the area, become involved or contribute? Or, I mean, do you look for volunteers or people to serve on the board, or, you know, how would they contribute as an individual, I guess?
Right. The board is formulated in a very specific way.
Yeah.
And 6 members are voted on by the property owners themselves. 2 are appointed by the city council president, and 1 is appointed by the mayor.
Yeah, not so much the board. I guess I misspoke. What I was thinking about is like for the local business community, how would they engage with you? Or
We do not have formal committees or a membership program.
Okay.
If you look at the Midtown and Downtown improvement districts, they have membership organizations that are affiliated with them.
Okay.
Central Atlanta Progress in the case of Downtown, the Midtown Alliance in the case of Midtown.
Get more involved. The
Livable Buckhead is a good place to get plugged in, because they provide opportunities for people to serve on committees, or as they grow, they'll be doing that more and more.
Okay.
Livable Buckhead's only a few years old now, so they're just getting their feet under them and getting funding, that sort of thing. But just go to the website and understand it, and then when we are putting the word out, we want your feedback, we want your input, that's an opportunity to plug in
and just take advantage of, participate in the projects you guys have put efforts into creating, I guess. So what's the best way to for people to find about, tell us about the website?
And it's simple. buckheadcid.com. And when you go there, you can click across the top and see who we are, what we do, the projects that we have, the different plans that we're working on. You can see a map of the CID, and then actually click on different places on that map to understand the projects that we're working on or that we have already built.
Yeah, I'm on the site now, and you're looking at the programs and the map. And you got the blog and events calendar. So good stuff. Really appreciate you being here today. And thanks for your time. And look forward to not only the current projects, but what's coming in the future and all the work you've done. I mean, Buckhead is definitely a different place than it was a number of years ago.
It's changing every day. Thank you, Jim, for your hard efforts. And appreciate all these property owners really stepping up to the plate. And thank goodness they're doing things which we all need. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Rich.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in to Buckhead Business Radio.